أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في كلامه العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون ولا تكونوا كالذين نسوا الله فأنساهم أنفسهم أولئك هم الفاسقون لا يستوي أصحاب النار وأصحاب الجنة أصحاب الجنة هم الفائزون صدق الله العظيم. وقال نبينا وحبيبنا صلى الله عليه وسلم: إنما الأعمال بالنيات وإنما لكل امرئ ما نوى إلى آخر الحديث أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. All praise and glory be to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, creator, nourisher, sustainer, provider, protector and controller of every single thing exists. Peace and salutation be upon our beloved Master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on his family members, companions, upon every single Muslim brothers and sisters who is following, who followed and who will follow the sunnah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam till the day of Qiyamah. My respected brothers, we just begin the one of the greatest and sacred month of Muharram. Tonight after Maghrib, we have started the month of Muharram, and tonight is so significant. We are beginning the new year as well. Hijri 1438 year has been begun. Whenever the Hijri calendar is being mentioned, we should go back to the incident of Hijra of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is the beginning of the victory of Islam. That is the reason Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu anhu selected the event of Hijra to be the beginning of calculating our calendar. And this month is among those months, even before the Prophethood of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selected the month of Muharram, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected Musa alayhi salam from the oppressed of Fir'aun. And even the time of Jahiliyyah, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to spend this month, and they used to fast in this month. And before Ramadan was compulsory, the fasting in Muharram, that means in the 10th of Muharram, was amongst those things. Anyway, today's topic is not about Muharram. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in hadith, after Ramadan, the greatest fast, if you want to fast, better fast in month of Muharram than any other month after Ramadan. Then the hadith says, one fasting of this month is equal to fasting of one whole month in this month. So these are opportunities where we can, you know, get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these are the rewards that we're going to get in month. And this is amongst those months, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Ashhurul Hurum the sacred month. Zulqa'dah, Zulhijjah, and Muharram, and then month of Rajab. These 3 months continuously, and then month of Rajab is among the sacred month of Islam. Alhamdulillah. Whatever said and done, we have a culture around our country that we have a culture of lecturing. You know, right through the history, there was different way of teaching and learning took place. Teaching and learning. This is one type of halqa, dars, way I'm speaking, you're listening, you're learning something. But this is not the only way that we learn. The learning, you know, dars, is something that makes us perfect, where we can strive and we always understand. When you learn something new, then you know you are not perfect. You need to strive toward perfection. All of us must strive towards perfection. But if you feel that you know everything, and I have achieved the pinnacle, only the most ignorant person in the world will think about that. The ignorant person, he will think that I am the most learned. The learned person in the world will never think that I am the most learned in the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this incident about Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam, amongst the prophets, each prophet had different characteristics. I hope, I'm talking in English, I was told to talk in Tamil and English, but then I might miss the subject, so I'll go on in this language, okay? I might miss it. So Musa alayhi salam, each prophet has different characteristics. Musa alayhi salam had a character, when you learn about his history, he had an aggressive character, that he was very much quick in deciding, quick in taking, decision. Every individual has this different type of character. Some get really angry. The character he was used to get outburst quick. So when you have this attitude, that you are in an attitude of aggressive attitude, Musa alayhi salam thought at that time he is the most learned person. That means aggressive means he's not patient, he's impatient. Then that's why the surah Qahf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the story between Musa alayhi salam and Khidr alayhi salam. Khidr or Khidr. When he thought that I'm the most learned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, no, there is someone who is much more learned than you. But this, what it shows, although he was aggressive, he was not arrogant. Understand, what is the difference between being aggressive and arrogant? Aggressive means you want to do things quick. You want to achieve things in a hard and quicker way. But when you realize you are wrong, you are ready to learn. When Musa alayhi salam understood that I am not the most learned person, he was not arrogant and he did not deny. He said, Ya Allah, I want to meet that person because I want to learn. His character of learning, he wants to go and learn. So then we know the incident, what happened. He was impatient. That's why it was limited with the three incidents. Incident of the boat and the killing of a young boy and then building of a wall in Surah Qahf. Now what it shows, the story, ulama, the mufassirun, when they narrate the story in Surah Al-Kahf, they say, this is every individual's life. That we are in a continuous journey of learning. And the main objective of learning is getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should now, unfortunately, what happened, while we are acquiring knowledge, while we are acquiring, we going higher in the ladder, we forget the objective of why I'm learning. The more you learn, you become humble and you become more fear, you have more fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You get closer, you become humble and you think that there are more people learned than me. You start understanding and valuing about it. Now why I'm saying there are different way of learning. One is, this is a lecture way of learning. Other thing is that you go to school or madrasa, there is a syllabus, Ustad will continue with the syllabus and you complete a content. All these type of learning, this both the type of learning, one is the lecture, another one is you have a set of syllabus and you listen and go. This may give you some information and this may give you some guidance. But it will not give you the real character and quality of what you want to achieve from it. You see, you go to a medical college, they have 4 to 5 years of program. Once the 5 year program is over, the syllabus is covered, then you call it a 1.5 year or 2 years of internship. They call it an internship. Now what me and you are lacking, mashallah, we have gone through a set of syllabus in school, at home, at madrasa, or whatever it is. We all know about Islam, mashallah. But all of us are lacking this internship program. It means, what happened? You are learned, but you're going to be under a mentor of a much more learned and experienced person in that field. You'll be going to be with them. This comes through, this is where me and you, we are not lucky enough. If we were born in time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we would have got the best of mentor, our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Sahabas, what makes us different from Sahabas is that they are the first bench of the teacher, Ustad Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the method he taught, he did not have a contained syllabus, no, that I have covered. He was mentored and guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it was time to time at the situation, it was the companionship, spending time with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Without you realize, you start associating with a person and you start inheriting his character. The more you associate with a person, you inherit his character without even you realizing it. Unfortunately, we do not have this relationship at this moment. When it comes to teacher and a student, we do not have this. What happened? We have a syllabus of learning and teaching that I speak, but many of you do not know my personal life. Many of you do not, you just see me in public on a lecture, and all of you have assumption about me based on that. Many of you have not spent a journey with me, seeing how I sleep, how I eat, how am I when I get really angry, how do I express my anger, how am I when I'm getting really happy. None of you knows. So what happened? You may get information from me, but you will not get the character, the quality of those based on you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have granted us in this world. Why I'm saying this? This is what the entire journey of life is, that we are learning process. Whether we are in the school, whether we are in the workplace, whether we are in the society, whether we are at home, we are learning. We are learning something. Sometimes we realize we are learning, but some of the time we don't realize. We are learning every single day something new. But we are not aware of what we are learning, how can I achieve the perfection we're trying to achieve. We can't achieve the perfection. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do that. Now I'm going to give you certain ideas in certain areas, how can you develop and concentrate. This is my reading have brought me, and my experience and being with the people and scholars, I have learned that this is what is life. This is what we have to work on in order to get the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now he said, a young man in workplace. You know, I'll tell you one thing. If you are a person has certain character, no matter in which place you are, you can take you and put you in the workplace, you will be perfect because you have all those characters. Can take you from workplace and put at home, you will be perfect because you have all these characteristics. That's why our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, khiyarukum fil jahiliya, khiyarukum fil Islam. The best person, those who had good character, good quality, ability, competence in jahiliya, they will be good in Islam as well. This is about a person's character. Maybe he had the wrong belief. Soon as he rectifies his belief, his character doesn't change. That character will help grow Islam. So when you develop this character, you are in the workplace, what happened? Nothing going to reduce from your character. It's going to help and enhance. You're going to be a better person there. So this is something very important. That's the reason when you actually, what do? When you propose someone for a marriage, what do we say? Nowadays, unfortunately, those days our forefathers, they were very clever. They used to see who is the father, who is the mother, where did they grow up, the background, the friends. Oh, so much of background study was done. Even now some people do. But unfortunately, now the trend is changing. Now we always see, where does he work? What is his qualification? How much does he earn? Am I right? It doesn't matter, you know. What is his qualification? Where does he work? How much does he earn? We don't see any of other things doesn't matter for us, because we think marriage life means that you have a better pay, you have a better life. No, we have actually mistaken it. We can divide our life into four parts. One is known as our personal life. Another one is known as our family life, corporate life, social life. All of us, other than this four life, we don't have any other life in this world. Personal life, family life, corporate life, and then our social life. You remember this, this is a four life. Some people, they are very good socially. You go ask him, everybody is very popular. Maybe if you just take him as example, as a politician. Just an example I'm saying. Socially, everybody says, hey, he's a good politician, man. He helps us a lot, you know. He has so many social organizations. He's doing a lot of charity. Wherever he goes, then a big crowd comes in. Huh? And then you get celebrities. They are very popular in social life. But when you go to their workplace and you say, you ask the employees, they say he's the worst boss. If he is an employee, the employer will say, ask him about the employee. Employee say, no, he's the worst worker. No, he doesn't do his, he doesn't work. But then you get some of us, we are really good at workplace. We are really smart. Because there's a lot of competition. You know, nowadays in workplace, competition. You have targets. You have to meet the targets. If you don't meet the targets, there's someone else to take over your job. Many times, it's that what happens. So whatever, you're very smart at work. You're really making good money for your boss. Boss is very happy about it. Right? Seeing, yeah, I can't lose him. I'll pay him. Yes, I'll pay him. I'm ready to pay him. He's very good at work. Very smart, very efficient. But you go back home, ask the family members, the brothers, the wives and children, they will say, he's not the perfect person. He gets angry, he shouts at us, he doesn't spend time with us. You know, he's the worst man. May Allah protect. Maybe we are okay with all these three areas. In our personal life means that life no one knows. It is only between you and your Creator. Even your wife doesn't know about it. That is called your personal life. It is between you and your Creator. You need to ask yourself how you can measure your personal life is. You need to ask, if I close my eyes now, will my Creator be pleased with me? Stand in front of the mirror and you're going to see yourself. This is your personal life, secret life. And I want to bring a hadith. This is our four life, which is a very popular hadith. In Muslim Sharif, this hadith has been mentioned about three young men. They were caught up in a cave. They went into a cave. A huge rock came and blocked the entrance of the cave. Three of them made a dua. They want to get saved from that. But they presented three different deeds in front of Allah. Remember this. All three of them, their duas were three different. They were asking for Allah, save us from this situation. But what did they present to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Each and every one of them presented different deeds. One young man, he said, that is related to him and Allah. It is personal life. A deed which is related to his personal life. There was a test in his life, personal life. He actually overcame. And then he presented this to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, Ya Allah, I had someone, you know, I was really fond of. I had a crush on her. But, you know, I never got opportunity to really meet her and, you know, fulfill my desire. There was a time that she was in need of me. It was only me and her, no one else. She consented, she said, you know, I'm ready. You can do what you want. But at that moment, Ya Allah, I safeguarded myself, I protected myself for no other reason than you. I only had your fear. Wallah, if I have done this for you, please safeguard me from this situation I have. My dear young brothers who are here, what I'm trying to say is that we have to have taqwa, but that taqwa will be, you know, fear of Allah in different situation. The expression and the act, you know, the character of taqwa will be exposed in a different way. You know, at a workplace, if you have taqwa, your character should be different from other than that. Personally, something else. What did he do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him from that. And the second person's dua, he said, Ya Allah, this is related to his family life. Just see, I used to work, but I had a principle for myself. Whatever I make, you know, whatever I earn, those days they work for the day. They don't work for the day, they don't have food on next, you know, food on table, that's it. That's how their life was, very simple. They work, they get some milk and bread, or whatever food they want, they eat, mashallah, very peaceful. So whatever I get for my food, I make sure I feed my parents first, and then my family. And one night this happened, I came very late, my parents were sleeping, then I waited till they wake up without feeding my family. Allah, I did this to please you. This is what? His family life. What happened? He actually, what do we do? Just think. We do other way around. We spend everything on us, our wife, children. If there's anything remaining, we give our parents. Am I right? Just say Eid shopping. Go Eid. Young boys, we buy everything for us. If we are married, for our family, and then it will end. Okay, we buy something for our parents. Our parents don't expect that. I mean, they don't want you to, you know, they are not starving. What does mean that you need to put them first in your life and then you. Because you are here because of them. Family means it's not only you and your wife and children alone. But unfortunately we have, it is, yes, you are developing a family of your own. But then you cannot forget where you came from. And then balancing it, very important. Third young man, what did he say? He was not an employee, he was an employer. Remember that. How much he feared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as an employer. Ya Allah, I had someone who working for me. He worked on that day, but he did not take his, you know, salary or reward, whatever it is. What I did, I bought a sheep for that, and I let the sheep grow. It became a huge herd of a sheep. Huge flock. After a few years, you know, if one sheep becoming a huge flock, that means minimum it has to take about 5 to 6 years. After a few years, the man came back. I remember him well. He asked me, I have worked for you so many years ago, I didn't take my salary. Just give my salary back. What I did, Ya Allah, whatever the investment and then the profit, everything, I said, this is yours, I gave you. We can argue in a different way, you know, you have taken care of it, you have protected it, what? This is the character that the man had. He presented in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and said, Ya Allah, I did this for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguarded Allah. You know why I said this incident, this hadith is something, I want you to look at this hadith in a different angle. If you are able to put in front of Allah one deed, either in your personal life, or in your family life, or from your corporate life. You can see the third incident is a corporate life. It is a relationship between an employer and an employee. If you possess this character in one of the places, It can be any. If you possess this character, no matter where you have been put, you will be a perfect person. That is a character of taqwa. Every time having the conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does it do? When you have this character of taqwa, you will work on four characteristics. This is a four character. I'm giving you four part of life and then try to work on these four characters. One is our iman. What makes us different from others is our belief in akhirah. No matter whatever you do, it can be at your workplace, it can be when you are alone, it can be even a family, your relationship with a person should be based on akhirah. Remember that. But unfortunately, even me and you, we have failed. Our relationship with a person is not based on akhirah. We never think that I am having a relationship with this so and so, this should benefit my akhirah. Do we think about it? As husband and wife, parents and children, it is, you know, look at, take this life as an investment, as a business. It is a business, it is an investment for akhirah. It is an investment for, no matter in which, whatever field you are spending your time, the life, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the iman is a character that all of us have to work hard every single day. Every single day. How do you work on it? We need to remember our death every day. We need to remember our qabr every day. But we live in a time, it's a scientific world. It's a technology versus digital versus what do you call physical. Everything we are digital, you know. Nowadays people interact less physically, we interact more what? Digitally. We express our view more on social media than we express in front of a person. Now people talk less. We don't have physical interaction. Everything is more intellectual. Remember, the more you become intellectual and using your science and mind, if you don't have an exercise of iman, you know, what happens? You become an atheist. You may call yourself a Muslim. You may come and pray, but you do it as a culture. You will never do that as faith, as a life. Unfortunately, this is a situation around. What happened? It doesn't make sense for us. We must so much busy, it doesn't make sense. What is it, life? Yes. We take it easy. We don't know the real value of this life. I need to answer for every second, every word I utter to Allah. Just before I came, was driving, and before that one of my friends sent me a video clip. I just watched it. And then I just realized this. Whatever you watch, when you have knowledge, you can relate it back. Says whoever uses Android phone or Apple phone, all your information, your day-to-day, all your movements are tracked and recorded. This is the intelligent agent in America is saying that. It is recorded. If they want, they can put the history. They have a whole scrap showing that you travel from here to there, even when it is not online, remember. Because the app works that way. It's Android app. It tracks you. And it has your entire history. Allahu Akbar. You know what it remembered me? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that every single thing is recorded of us. If he can invent something, an app, a device, which we carry, and it records every moment of us, our Creator who created us from dust, who created us from sperm, who created us from nothing, can't he have the record of everything? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. This is what we need to remember, connect ourselves every day with akhirah. When you meet a brother, you say, how can this man benefit me in akhirah? But what we do, other way around, we say, how can this man benefit my business in this worldly life? You need to say, how can this man benefit my akhirah? Yes, if he's a Muslim, you say, assalamu alaikum, and he replies to you, and you greet him, it benefits your akhirah. Why? your minor sins are forgiven. This is the basic. You start with that. So developing this belief in Iman is something very... This is the exercise our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught the Sahaba karam. Every time he remind them about Akhirah. Death, Qabr, Day of Qiyamah, Jannah, what happens? This is something, can any one of you prove this? Can we prove life of Qabr scientifically? You cannot prove. None of us can prove. You know, scientifically, there is a life of Qabr, we can't prove. This is what we call belief in unseen. If you can prove something scientifically, that is not unseen, that is not ghaib. It is physical, it's not metaphysical. If you cannot prove, then it is metaphysical. Everything is not logical, everything is not scientific. Now, for example, you say that you love someone, you love your mother, you love your wife, your children. And if you tell the person, okay, show, can you prove your love scientifically? So based on a behavior, some people can act. Imagine all of you watch movies, don't say no. All of you watch movies, am I right? Teddy dramas, and how do they act? The actors they have, they love each other, you know. But do they really love them? No. The action doesn't mean. No one can prove. This is what it called belief. We believe, we trust, we believe. So working on our Iman in Akhirah, this is something each and every one of us. Why I said we fast, we do all this? Because of our Iman. We need to continuously talk about it, reminded about it. If not, we have lost the basic. The life in this world becomes the more priority for us than anything else. We live for this, we work for this, our entire thing is this. So any loss is becomes a huge loss for us. Because we are not living for Akhirah. We Muslim, this is what makes us different from others. We live for Akhirah. So Iman, working on our Iman. Second is the call of our character. Akhlaq. Your character is something that makes the person beautiful. You know, it beautifies the person. You become really attractive for others. You develop on the character. Our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you know, one of the characters, we get angry. Generally we get angry. Hadith says, لا تغلب ولك الجنة. Don't be angry, Allah will give you Jannah. This is the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But you know, we all get angry. What does it mean? Doesn't mean that you don't get angry. When you become angry, you try to control your anger for sake of Allah. Don't say things that will, you know, put you in trouble in Akhirah. Developing the character. Sahabas, they were worse people, but they developed their character. They became so close with Allah. Developing the character. Each and every one of us, we try, if you are going up the ladder, your Iman is day to day increasing. Your character is becoming, you have to keep a track of your character. That is called ilm, knowledge. Ta'lim, we must have the habit of learning. Learning, every time we must have the habit of learning. Spend time, learn something new. And develop our knowledge and then our competence, quality of our ability of achievement and whatever we do, we should be really efficient. That comes with knowledge. We learn. So again I said, you'll have to learn with people who have experience and knowledge. Spend time with them. That's the reason now people have realized, all the employees, all the corporate chains have realized, they don't just employ a person based on their qualification, papers. Maybe you don't have paper qualification, but then you have a good track record, they give you more preference than your paper qualification because you have a better track record. And then if you have really worked on a, you know, major multinational company, as you have done the, you know, you have a good character certificate from your employee, yes, that carries value. Because what? That is what is called real learning. That makes you perfect. And third, we must always be in service, khidmah. You know, serving. some of us think, you know, service means we need to have social service organization. Everybody is having now a lot of social service organization. You go there, they have one social service organization. You know, we forget that whether you like it or you don't like it, Allah have created us, we are born to serve. But we don't realize we are serving it. As parents, we are serving our children. As children, we are serving our parents. As husband, you are serving your wife, and your wife is in return serving you. Employer is serving the employee, and employee is serving the employer. If you see right wrong, whether you like it or you don't like it, you are serving. But what is the difference between a service, we call khidma, and a business? In business, you do a service and you expect a return, you expect a profit. Not like a lot of companies, they put on that they don't have any product, they don't sell anything, they sell the service. Am I right? Cleaning agents, clearing agents, they don't have products, but they sell the service. But that is known as not service because you make money in return. But when you do a service, not expecting anything in return, no name, no fame, nothing, you only expect from Allah, that is what it calls service. But unfortunately, we don't do that. We live with our wife, we don't serve our wife expecting reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We want her to be a better person for us. Just serve us. If she don't serve us well, what happens? We don't want to serve them. Everything in return, what? It is we serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we can have these characters, iman, I want you to repeat. One is that we work on our iman. When you work on your iman, ibadah comes auto. When you believe in Allah, in unseen comes, your prayer, all your ibadah comes on that. So that's the reason I have not add the ibadah on there, because when you have iman, auto that comes. Second is your character, akhlaq. Akhlaq is something which beautifies and protects all your reward. You have iman and you have done so much of ibadah, when you don't have character, it means that you have a huge tank and it has a leakage. What happened? Whole night water filled and then it goes around other way around. That's what happens, many people. When your character is not good, you hurt people, you do that, you do this, and then what happens? It is gone. And then knowledge, ilm. When you have knowledge, then you will know how to balance this four part of your life. It's very important. If you want to succeed, one is prioritizing and then proportionating. I hope you're understanding. What is, you know, you must know at this moment, is it good for me to be here in a lecture? Do I give you priority for lecture or I go home and take? You need to know what is. Because every time, there will be so many things in front of you. You need to know to prioritize and then you need to know proportionate. Proportionate is how much you're going to divide, how you're going to balance your life. This comes with knowledge and this comes with mentoring. How to proportionate and then how are you going to give priority. So with knowledge, ilm. When ilm comes up, life becomes very easy. You know how to balance it. Your personal life, family life, corporate life, and then what? Your social life. Then you call khidma, service. If you live and do just expecting reward of Allah, you will never be disappointed in this world. You'll never be disappointed. Why? Why we have so much of disappointment and frustration? Employer comes to the shop, he comes to the office and he see all these employees are, they are not up to the target. He gets really annoyed. Yes, we need to have targets. We need to work on it. What does it mean in your heart? You need to ask, oh Allah, I have done the best, I expect your reward, and then you expect something. You do the best. Now, for example, the end of the year comes, employer thinks, you know, I'm going to give everyone good salary, good pay, you know, bonus has been paid, everything is paid. And then the next year it comes, employees are not performing well. What happened? You need to take some decisions, but remember by your heart, if you have paid them for sake of Allah, expecting reward of Allah, you will not be sad. You will replace them, yes, fine. But you won't be disappointed and you're not going to be upset about it. Again, husband and wife, parents and children, same thing. It's all about how I'm serving. You know, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me. So as young men, the living is one, is that as Islam, we have an objective in our personal life. This is what I'm trying to say. Each life we have an objective, our maqasid. What are we trying to achieve in our personal life? What are you trying to achieve in your personal life? You must have this, this, this. In personal life, your pinnacle is that, you know, I want to be the most pleasing servant of Allah. Allah should be pleased with me. This is what you are trying to achieve. In your family life, say, Ya Allah, my objective in family life, I want to do my duty towards my family members, fulfill all those, and be the good person, you know, kind, caring, loving person towards them, and through that please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, in your corporate life, I want to be the smart person. I want to achieve my targets, efficient enough. You know, some of the time, I can remember one of our sheikhs used to say, it's unfortunate, we live in a time when you have a really smart and talented guy, he's not honest and he's not loyal. He's talented and smart, but he's not honest and he's not loyal. Then you find a guy who is really honest and loyal, but he's not talented. He's not smart. But finding this, both this character, loyalty, honesty, and then a person who has character, smart, efficiency together, very difficult. Some of the time we think being smart means not being honest. Being smart means not being honest. Smart means you fulfill your duty, you are honest and you are loyal, but still you are able to please Allah. This is the character that you are finding difficult to get people. So this is in family life. You be loyal, you are honest, and then through that you have the loving, caring, and then fulfilling your duty and expecting. In corporate life, same thing. Corporate life, you must be the smartest guy in the world. Whatever you do, this is فَأَحْسِنُ زِبْحَ. Even you are slaughtering, your slaughter should be best. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expects. Whatever you do it best. There should not be anyone who can match you. You must strive towards that. When you are not there, the employer should feel the vacuum. Oh, smart guy is missing. You know why? Because he can take care of. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had this character. You know, every prophet had, they were very smart. In the workplace, you should be efficient, you should be smart. Right? And then through that, why? Through that, please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do your job well, please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In social life, remember something. Social life means, sometimes we don't know what is social. Social life means you should not harm anything around. You should be someone who is benefiting around, people around. This is what social life is. It can be a cat, a dog in the street, can be anything. Socially, all the other beings around should benefit from you. Okay, if it doesn't benefit, you should not harm it at least. This is the minimum requirement. The objective is that you're the way you walk, the way you drive, the way whatever you do. Achieving this, my dear brothers, it is a lifetime effort. It's now none of us can say that we have achieved this perfectionally. But socially there is something. Islam has given different objective, and we have a responsibility as taqwa, protecting our family and living a family life. And every way you should be an honest and a loyal person. And we as Muslims, unfortunately, I want to, this topic, what I'm going to say, the end is going to be controversial, but it is my duty to say. Remember something. We as Muslims, we have not been sent to this world only to live a life in this world. We are here, we are the ambassadors of Allah, we have to convey the message of Islam. It doesn't mean conveying the message of Islam preaching. It means the way you behave, the way you conduct yourself. You as Muslim, in your workplace, you should be more attractive, honest and loyal than any other employees. You in the family life should be a better person than anyone else around. This is what it means. We are here to convey the message of Allah. We are here to convey the message of Deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in any form, we must, you know, let's talk and start live. Let's talk about Islam and let us live Islam. Let us live as Muslims. But unfortunately, we are a society, a civilization, which we came down, which we had a big legacy, we are coming down. But unfortunately, we have lost these things. We have lost this character. We have, mashallah, many masjids, many institutions. Now, everywhere is lecture. Every jamaat, everyone is having lecture. And numbers in the lecture is, mashallah, it's tremendous, big numbers. But are we achieving the character which is expected? It is unfortunate. What is happening around? The reason is that you need to uplift yourself and say, this is why I'm doing it. It is a challenge. The future is going to be more challenging. Our young generation is a challenge now. Even our children is going to be more challenging and challenging and challenging. This is what your life has to become beautiful. So at workplace, remember one thing. Wherever you work, that is a very nice place where you can convey Islam. Your social life, these two lives, your family life and your personal life, it is between you and Allah. But the perfection, the character has to be shown there. The way you interact, the way you move, the way you achieve. And then end of the day, all of us are trying to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, my respected brothers and young men, mashallah, I think it's a nice, we have a discussion. And we need to learn this characteristic as a lesson, as a daras. So I encourage the committee here and the alim, the ustadu are here. We should come out a little bit of this culture of lecturing culture. And let us come on a culture of learning daras. And what I mean when I said is that we should have a set book, a kitab which is expected, and we have ulama, especially I said learn the seerah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is something that we need to learn if you learn seerah, you're going to learn all these things. How you're going to balance your family life, how you're going to balance seerah and the life of sahaba. These are the perfect people where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted them. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased. These are the role model for us. So Hayatu Sahaba, one is the life of Sahaba, other one is Sirah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is what is life all about. If we can learn weekly, we have a daras of Sirah and we have the daras of Hayatu Sahaba, we can relate and see this is how we can relate yourself. Because unfortunately the young men, they don't have anyone they can relate to. We need to relate to someone and then we can develop our character. But unfortunately, we do not have anyone to relate because we do not know the characteristic of them. And when we learn the seerah, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's characters, then about Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, I want to conclude with one verse. Way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how did Allah train them and mentor them? This is why we must go and reflect back. When Abu Bakr Siddiq and his daughter Aisha radiallahu anha, when she was accused, when she was, you know, given all the bad names, and then he was broken down. Quranic verse did not reveal. But then he got to know a person. This is what it called, the character of a person. No matter wherever you are, whatever condition, once you have developed that character, that's it. The person who was part of spreading this rumor was Mistah radiallahu anhu. He's a Sahabi. He was one of them. You know who is Mistah? Mistah radiallahu anhu is Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu's sister-in-law, wife, sister, son. He was a poor man. He was a Makkan. He migrated. He did hijrah. He was living under the sponsorship of Abu Bakr Siddiq. That means Abu Bakr Siddiq was giving him monthly expenditure. When he got to know, just imagine how you will be tested at this moment. You getting to know someone who is living under your expenses does such a big crime to you. It is natural. He said, you know, I am not going to give him a single cent. It's natural. So he said this word. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is training them. Allah is perfecting them. This is what I said. At that moment of anger, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the words. وَلَا يَأْتَلِ أُولِي الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ وَالسَّعَةِ أَيُؤْتُوا أُولِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Brother, it is easy for me to talk, but this is not an easy thing. Just imagine, someone has accused your beloved daughter, someone has spread this rumor, and that man is living under your expenditure, and then you have decided, no, I'm not going to give anything. Now Allah reveals the verse and say, those who I have given, you know, bounty, fadl, and you have more, you know, wealth in you, you should not prevent giving. When Allah is mentioning, this is the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah doesn't mention that. The one who accused your daughter, the one who spread the rumors about your daughter, no. Allah says, he is miskeen, he is your family member, and then third, Allah says that he is a muhajir. He has migrated from Makkah to Makkah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't describe Mistah radiallahu anhu with his bad character. Allah described Mistah radiallahu anhu with his positivity. It says, he's your family member, he's miskeen, and he's a muhajir. And then I'll say, فَلْيَعْفُ وَلْيَصْفَحُ. Forgive him and turn the page. فَلْيَعْفُ وَلْيَصْفَحُ means don't keep repeating it. Turn the page. You know, it's come from suhf. Suhf means a book, you keep changing. Once you keep reading on the same page, you can't forgive. You keep remembering. Just turn the page, turn the chapter, finish, it's gone. You know why you should forgive? This is what. You are not forgiving because you love him, remember. You are not doing a service for someone because you love that person. أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. If you do that, Allah will forgive you. That's what. You are doing that because you need the forgiveness of Allah. You're doing that because you need the acceptance of Allah. Why you're serving? When you give someone, don't think that a beggar comes and beg. Don't think that you are doing a favor. You thank him, you know, thank you brother. Keep this because Allah will give me 10 times. This is the business we are doing. When you have this attitude, it's very easy to live. Just imagine, this is what is seerah is all about. This is what is what? Life of Sahabas. When you learn this character, you go back home, something happens to you, it's how easy for you to live the life. So, I think, inshallah, every month the lecture is going on. This is my suggestion that if you can, based on a kitab and a seerah, where then you can continuously learn chapter by chapter, and then you can see how you can develop this character, then Ustad who is teaching should try to highlight certain lesson which is learned from that day's lesson. You try to take back that message and share with your family members and see, this is how I can improve. And I went 40 days Jamaat with one of the prominent person, and then I learned something from him. I know about it, but you know, you learn practically. Whenever we used to sit in a majlis, it has become something natural. We backbite. We speak about that person, he is so and so, he did this. This is natural, you know. We start with something, we end up in something, you know. Whenever he does it, he used to get up and walk away. We noticed fun, second time, third time, we felt uncomfortable, mashallah. Whole chilla was, we were not speaking, backbiting about anything for last 20 days. In the last day, we were sitting together and we asked, we noticed this character from you. He said, you know, it took me 10 years. To work on it and come out of it. And I have made a principle in my life. At home, if someone speak about it, we have kept a principle to get up, go and make wudu, and come and pray 2 rakat and ask for Allah, forgive me, I have mentioned about it. And I make dua for that person who have backbite about it. Brothers, it's not easy. This is what I'm saying. If we can work on this character, mashallah, life become very easy. We are all expecting to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as young men, it's very easy. This is where the area, before the young days, this is where you develop your characters. This is where you're climbing up, you know. Then you concentrate on developing this. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive me and forgive all of you, and then accept this gathering, all who are here, and be among those who will work on and be have a proportionating it, our family life, personal life, corporate life and social life, as well as we develop our character of iman, akhlaq, ilm, and then khidmah, servicing others. Once we develop this and get the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa akhir da'wana, and alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, wassalamu alaykum.